This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're going to be talking about unpopular fish, the kind of fish that people love to hate, but we love to love. Mackerel, catfish, herring, anchovies, sardines, that kind of fish. And I'm pleased to say that we have a special guest with us who is a fish expert and a private chef here in Seattle, Becky Selinget. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what the hell is a private chef? Is it like a private dancer?
Yeah, that was what I was wondering.
If it is like a private dancer, I don't charge enough. And I really need to start charging a lot more. But I don't do any private dancing. I just do some private cooking. Which is kind of funny because it's like, what's a personal chef? What's a private chef? There's a lot of confusion. But personal chef sounds a little like personal massager. So I prefer to go with private chef. Personal chef is like you cook food, put it in the refrigerator for a week or freezer. Private chef, you do multi-course dinner parties.
So how rich do I have to be before I can hire you?
You have to be pretty rich. Okay. But I also, I also do parties for, you know, friends of mine who aren't rich by, you know, everybody chips in some money. So,
awesome.
You know, you can hire me for like $50 a person.
I understand that, you are appearing on a new TV show.
Maybe. We filmed a pilot for a show called Mission Sustainable.
Oh, I thought it was called Private Dancer.
It's not called Private Dancer. And Tina Turner does not appear in the show.
Darn it.
And we're premiering it on Thursday night at the Seattle Center. And basically, it's like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, except everyone's wearing a lot of fleece and using recycled toilet paper. And not everybody's gay. But, you know, it's like a green makeover show, essentially.
So what about your book?
So I co-authored a book called The Washington Local and Seasonal Cookbook, but I'm working really hard right now on a book on sustainable seafood, which with Sasquatch Press, and that should be out as soon as I'm done.
Matthew, maybe we should talk for a second about what we mean by unpopular fish.
We mean like fish that have a strong flavor or fish that are small that you have to take on the head of the fish maybe appearing on your plate. And these fish get a bad rap, and for the most part, they're like healthy, abundant fish that I think are really delicious. And I feel like I have a bit of a mission to promote these fish. I don't know, what are some of your favorite fish in that category?
Well, I grew up on the East Coast and in a Jewish family, and so you know I was pretty much bottle fed on pickled herring. So I'm not really the best person to talk about it being unpopular because I absolutely adore little stinky fish.
I do too. I think none of us are the best person. That's why we're the right people to bring unpopular fish to America.
Although, but there are some myths that I'd like to debunk.
One of them
is that some of them are just not stinky at all. And if they are stinky, there's a serious problem going on.
Like which fish are you thinking of?
Sardines. Fresh sardines they smell lovely. Like just like all other fish. I think an ocean breeze kind of smell. And if they smell really funky, there's something wrong with them. So sardines, I think, especially get a bad rap when they're fresh. I think, canning, it traps in some of the smells a little bit, but fresh sardines are awesome.
Go back to pickled herring for a minute, because, Molly, you admitted earlier that you've never actually had pickled herring.
I'm a totally bad Jew. I've never had pickled herring. And, in fact, like...
I'm out of here. I'm so out of here.
I can't even imagine what a whole herring would look like. I've never eaten herring. I've never eaten it pickled or any other way. Never.
It's just one of those small little fish. I mean, it's pretty nondescript
it's
looking.
It's little. For some reason, I always pictured it being big. Wow, I am totally bringing out all of my inadequacies here.
Where did you grow up?
Oklahoma.
Well, that explains a lot, I think.
Now, what about anchovies, in particular canned anchovies? I know you have experience with them, Molly, because I've had them on pizza at Delancey.
Yeah, we have gone through a lot of different brands of canned anchovy, trying to find the right one, the one that's sort of not too pungent or, you know, just very often they're incredibly intense and very salty. And we have discovered that if you at first do not like the anchovy before you, well, try again, because brands are all different. And we had some for a while that were really nice, but they required a little bit of soaking in water or milk to sort of make them a little more mild. But right now we're using a brand called Scalia, no relation to Justice Scalia, and it's pretty great. I would also recommend a brand that's a little easier to find in stores called
Rehnquist.
called La Rusticella, and it comes in a little glass jar, and they're great. They have a really wonderful, to me, true anchovy flavor without having any of the nose wrinkling qualities that we sometimes associate with anchovies.
Now, when I was a kid, anchovies on pizza was like a threat. It's like, you know, if you're not good, we'll get anchovies on your pizza. And so I was really surprised to discover one day that anchovies on pizza are actually really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're fantastic with, you know, with the sort of brightness of the tomato and maybe with a little bit of olive. And yeah.
My grandmother used to have anchovies on her pizza with a beer, and we thought she was badass.
Wow.
She would take them all off everybody else's pieces and she'd eat them. So. Badass.
That's what I'm going to do when I'm an old man.
My grandmother?
When I'm your grandmother. No, this episode actually seems like it's really good preparation for being an elderly person.
Right. When I start eating like sardines smashed onto toast or something.
Right.
Nothing
right.
wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with
Speaking
that.
Of which, we have in front of us today some Triscuits that I brought. And
Thank you for bringing the Triscuits.
With myself.
Very generous.
I brought some Triscuits, which we have smeared with Roland Extra Strong Dijon Mustard. And then I have coarsely chopped some sardines. And we're trying two different kinds of sardines today. One is from Portugal. It's Angelo Parodi brand, packed in olive oil. And the other is Albo from Spain, which sounds a lot like Alpo. Don't make the mistake of confusing the two. Also packed in olive oil. And I got to say, they're pretty delicious with this mustard and these Triscuits.
Yeah, I was nervous about it because I have to admit, I've never in my life had a canned sardine before.
Me neither.
Okay, this is shocking.
So, what,
you, shocking.
Do you keep a can on you at all times?
Right now in my pants.
And you're happy to see us?
Exactly. So you guys you've had fresh sardines. So that's the thing I wanted to just point out. You've had fresh sardines, but you've never had canned sardines.
Yeah, we're total snobs.
Yeah.
But why so unpopular? That's my question.
Like, I think it's a class thing.
Well, it's like a junior high school thing. Like, there's salmon, there's tuna, there's shrimp, and they're all hanging out in the click. And then there's like these little tiny fish, like looking in the window, all sad and pathetic. And it turns out that they're the coolest kids, but you didn't know that then.
That's like me.
That's like me too.
Totally.
Wow.
I was the smelt of high school.
You smelt. I've been testing a lot of sardine recipes recently, and as long as you handle them appropriately, they can be very mild. Mm-hmm. And I've fed some to April, who was a sworn sardine hater, and she absolutely loved them. And she didn't think they tasted fishy at all. She thought they were just luscious and delicious.
Yeah.
So it's how you handle them.
Mm-hmm. So were you working on sardine recipes for your book?
Yeah.
Can you give a sneak preview of a sardine recipe that might make
sure.
a cut?
Sure. Yeah. There's two that we tested the other night that came out really well. Well, so we were talking about, like, you know, how do you handle them to make them delicious? And I think that for sardines, they can handle some big flavors to go with them. And so one of them, we smoked the sardines whole.
Wow.
And served them. We also put a tomato in the smoker and then made a smoked tomato sauce to go with it with some greens, like some frisée. And it was fabulous. It was so delicious. Just that nice smoky flavor in there, and it was a whole sardine. And then another one we did, which was a lot easier, was we just pan fried the sardines and then made a salad with pine nuts and currants and fennel. And Meyer lemon.
Do you know lots of bright notes?
Lots of really bright notes, and, you know, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of lemon over the top, and some mint. We stuffed mint inside of them and then pan-seared them. And it was just very simple and it was so mild.
What I want to point out is that, you know, so now that Matthew and I have lost our sardine virginity today, maybe he can agree with me on this.
Oh my God, I witnessed that.
You watched it.
I think I contributed to it.
I think you did. I think you even may have taken part a little bit. What I want to point out is that to me, the flavor of these, in particular, the Angelo Parodi one, the Portuguese one, which is really delicious and meaty, it really tastes a lot like these fresh sardines that I had.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, God, they're like $4 here, right?
Yeah, this was $4, $3.99 at the Spanish Table in Seattle.
That's the thing about loving unpopular fish, because fish, you know, fish, it's expensive. You can't have fish for dinner every day. But if you like unpopular fish, you can afford quite a lot of fish. When I buy mackerel, which is what we're going to be having for lunch, I typically buy frozen mackerel and it freezes perfectly well. And a couple of mackerel fillets is enough to feed my whole family, and that's like $5.
Well, let's try that soup.
Okay, so I've made Kyoto miso mackerel hot pot, and it's from one of my... Why is that funny?
I don't know that it's got such an official title. It's the Kyoto official mackerel.
The Kyoto miso mackerel hot pot.
I mean, it sounds like a governmental soup or something.
Oh, God, I love governmental soup. Okay, so how did you like the official hot pot of Kyoto?
I mean, it's a good thing that it's so good because there's only one.
That's right. It was the least sustainable soup in the world because we just ate it all and that's it.
Right.
No, meaning it's the official.
Right, I understand. So it's the right. Only. It's like we, you know, we use the Olympic torch to light our hibachi.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
All jokes aside, I really enjoyed it. And I really love that you're so into mackerel. And my only question was, why leave the skin on the mackerel in the soup?
I think the reason, there are two reasons the skin is always left on the mackerel, I think. Number one is because it would be really hard to take off. And number two, and it's really good when it gets crispy. I agree with you that it's kind of slippery in soup, but it looks awesome.
It does.
You know, it's
it
got
does.
This iridescent blue with stripes. And I think that's the reason that in French, and this is not a joke, the word for mackerel is the same as the word for pimp.
Sweet.
Flashy.
Which sort of leads into our important philosophical question.
I kind of wanted to ask Becky what fish she would be if she were a fish, you know? I mean, maybe Matthew would be a pimp fish, which is to say a mackerel. Obviously, that's what Matthew would
you
be.
You know, it's funny. I mean, every fish has like 17 different names, you know? I wonder if mackerel ever is called pimp fish. It seems like it should be.
Now it is.
Yeah, look for it in this week's recipe, the official hot pot of Kyoto with pimp fish.
Right.
Anyway, so Becky, what's your power fish?
Sorry to interrupt
fish?
There.
My power fish. I have two power fish. Mm-hmm. I think most people would see me as a clam.
Okay. Are you a giant clam?
I'm often confused for a clam. No, just a real modest, small clam. Okay. But then some days I feel like a gooey duck.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a siphon that you like to send out?
I do. It's very, very large.
Wow.
Yes. People are jealous often.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I live a long time. I'm quite large.
So okay, let's turn the fish cannon on you.
Fish cannon.
What is your spirit fish?
I think that I would be a shark. I would want to be a shark because I just think they're really cool looking in general.
And then they bite people.
What I like about sharks is that they're very bad at sharing in general. They just sort of want all for themselves. And I think about myself, you know, back in those days of being an unpopular fish in
right.
grade school, I would never share. You know, if you didn't bring your pencil to class and you asked me for a pencil, what I would say is you should have brought your own. So I think there's something very shark-like about that.
That's good. Until you said that, I was going to say, you know, shark is kind of a cop-out answer. Like if you ask what's your spirit animal?
It's a cop-out answer. I feel deeply connected.
No. You convinced me. I was skeptical at first. I was thinking, you know, like it's like if I asked you what animal are you, you said I'm the lioness.
I'm
like
a tiger.
So yeah. You know, you and everyone else. But no, I...
Yeah, right. How many people are a clam?
Okay, my second answer would be that I'd like to be a whale, but a whale's not a fish, it's a mammal. So
close enough.
Cut me some slack, man.
Okay, everybody, we have a selfish shark. We have
a clam.
We have a large phallic gooey duck. Right. And what were you, Matthew?
Well, I'm gonna
pimp.
Yeah, I'm gonna give two answers also, since that seems to be the thing of the day. The two sides to my personality. I'm gonna be the smelt on one side, like kind of Shrimpy hangs out in the corner, low priced. and then on the other side, I'm going to be the pimp fish because, you know, in my mind, I'm always representing.
Great. And scene.
You've been listening to Spilled Milk, the show that puts you in touch with your spirit fish. And thanks again to our special guest this week, Becky Selinger.
Thank you. Pimp fish and shark teeth.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
You can find this week's recipes and recipes from all of our shows and all of our previous episodes at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
I'm not really eaten that often.
I wish.
In the States.
What did you say? Did you just say that?
No,
you did. You said, I'm not eaten all that often in the States. You did just say that, didn't you not?
I did.
Wait, do you think I said I'm not?
Yeah, you said I'm not.
I'm not, right? Is that what you mean?
I am not often eaten, or eaten often in the United States.
My fish, not me personally.
But you said I am not.
I'm projecting. I'm being my fish.
Okay, I'm 12 years old. That's okay. You can't say stuff like that without getting a response.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable, but the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.